Dr. Dubin, hello, friend, and greetings once again in that precious holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And the Lord Jesus spoke those words in Capernaum, which was the city where Jesus lived when walking here on earth. The nation, or the city of Nazareth, that little community of Nazareth, did not want the Lord Jesus there. He wasn't welcome there. They tried to put the Lord Jesus to death by throwing him over a cliff. And so he went to the fishing village of Capernaum, and there he lived while walking here on earth. There was where Peter lived, and some of the disciples that he called lived there in Capernaum. And so the Lord Jesus had been across the sea with his disciples, had fed the 5,000 besides men, women, and children. They had wanted to make him king, and it was not God's time for him to become king. He was coming to this earth to die for the sins of the world as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so he had left and would not allow them to make him king. He had left and had gone back to Capernaum. And when the people found out he was in Capernaum, they came to him because they wanted more bread and they wanted more food from him. And this was why Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. And he was speaking about spiritual food. He was speaking about that which will fill the emptiness of a person's spirit, will satisfy the hunger of the human spirit and the thirst of the human spirit. And that's what Jesus was referring to there. But they didn't understand, and many of them turned away because he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And they thought he was speaking of physical body and physical blood. And what he was speaking of was putting their faith and trust in him, because previously he said, except you believe in me, you will not have life. And so he was talking about their believing in him as the one that was the giver of life, even as physical bread gives physical life, and as the blood pictured the life of the flesh. For we're told in Leviticus that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the first president of the United States was literally bled to death by leeches because he had a cold, and they'd called a doctor, and in those days they thought that it was because you had bad blood, and so they would drain the blood out of the body. And the medical record states that at the last it came slow and thick. They literally bled the president of the first president, George Washington. They took all the blood out of his body, and he died, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And that's what Jesus was talking about. It was a picture of their putting their faith and trust in him. And so that's what he was referring to when he said, I am the bread of life. And if you'll partake of me and believe in me and accept me, I'll satisfy the hunger of your human spirit. I'll satisfy the thirst of your human spirit. But you see, mankind looks to the things of the world and the deceptions of Satan to try to satisfy that inner craving and fill that emptiness within the human spirit. And only Jesus Christ, beloved, can satisfy that hunger and fill that emptiness. And it comes through one understanding that they're a sinner, that Christ died for our sin, that he was buried, that he arose from the grave, that he lives today. And if we'll ask him, He will send His Holy Spirit into our spirit to do that work of salvation, to redeem us from our sin, to give us the gift of eternal life, and oh, so many other wonderful treasures, to unlock the Word of God to us, to help us grow in the knowledge of the truth. It's a marvelous thing, beloved, to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all begins when an individual acknowledges they're a sinner, realizes that Christ died for our sin because the wages of sin is death, that He took our penalty upon Himself and died under the judgment and wrath of God the Father for the sins of mankind, that if we would accept what He did, we could be made pure and clean and holy within our spirit and be given that gift of eternal life. And so, beloved, it's the most wonderful thing in the world to receive the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept Him into your life. He'll satisfy that hunger of the human spirit that you're trying to satisfy with all the things of the world, and it brings no fulfillment and satisfaction. But Jesus Christ does. Well, we're studying about the devil and the enemy of God. We're studying about the angels, and we're thinking about the fallen angels that are under Satan's power. But first of all, we have to understand who angels are and what their position is. And we're presently studying about Satan and what his position was before he fell into sin. And so that's what we've been reading over in the book of Ezekiel. And remember, what we're talking about is how that Satan and the Scripture often reveal Satan in subtle ways that are not completely obvious. And that's why the unbeliever doesn't grasp or comprehend the Word of God. He doesn't know the truth that the Holy Spirit unlocks and opens up. And that's why a man can have all kinds of degrees and say that the Bible's full of myths and is not true, because he does not have the Spirit of God who unlocks the truth of the Word of God and enables us to know the truth. And that's why it's so important that an individual put their faith and trust in Christ. That's one of the benefits of knowing Jesus, is that it begins to open up the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit begins to teach us and instruct us. When a person first accepts Christ as Savior, they're born into the family of God. They're a spiritual babe in Christ. There's so much about God's Word they do not know nor understand. But as they begin to eat the simple truths of God's Word, it's called the milk of the Word, they begin to develop spiritual teeth. They begin to grow spiritually. They begin to be able to understand the more involved truths of the Word of God, and thus they begin to able to eat the meat of the Word of God, the deeper truths of God's Word. And one of them has to do with the history of Satan. And that's what we're studying here in Ezekiel 28, as he's speaking to the king of Tyre, but in reality he's talking about Satan and telling about the devil. Because he said, thou, in verse 13 of Ezekiel 28, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. And we know that the king of Tyre could not have been in Eden, the garden of God, because Eden was destroyed, that garden of Eden was destroyed by the flood, and does not exist today. And so the king of Tyre could not have been in the garden of Eden. Every precious stone was thy covering, and it describes the beauty of this creature that he's speaking about. In the day that thou wast created, the last words of verse 13, the day thou wast created. Tyre, the king of Tyre, was not created. He was a human being born just like every other human being. But Satan was created. God created Satan as a beautiful creature, and a wonderful creature that was without sin. It was a beautiful creature Satan was in his original state. And verse 14 says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." Now, what we think that means, if you go back to the book of Exodus, we see a description given in Exodus chapter 25. And there in verse 17, we begin to read about the mercy seat. Remember, the cherubims, their job was to protect the holiness of God, and we'll see that as we continue with this study. "And thou shalt make a mercy seat of gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof." These were instructions given to Moses on Mount Sinai concerning the tabernacle and the furniture of the tabernacle. And the mercy seat was the place where the blood was shed for the sins of the nation of Israel. And verse 18 of Exodus 25, "Thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat." So we see the cherubims were to oversee the mercy seat to protect that place where God would meet with man and where man could offer sacrifice for his sin. That place which was the Holy of Holies, it was called, and the cherubims protected the holiness of God. That was their job, to protect the holiness of God. And so it was believed that the anointed cherub that covered the mercy seat in heaven and the holiness of God. That was his job. "And I have set thee so." God gave him that position. God created him for that purpose. "Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God," and in the Old Testament a mountain often refers to a kingdom, the holy kingdom of God. "Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stone of fire." That is, he was able to do things that humanly a person could not do. The king of Tyre certainly wasn't able to do that. "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Notice that. He was perfect. Satan was perfect in his created being until iniquity was found in him. And that iniquity had to do with pride. "And by the multitude of thy merchandise thou hast filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain or the kingdom of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub." Till next time, goodbye.